Welcome back to the Coffee Hour with Sarah.
And Andy.
That always gets me mixed up when we do it backwards.
That's right. I'm, you know, always kind of backwards anyway.
So, we're talking about a Lutheran Witness article in the February edition of the Lutheran Witness, which should be hitting mailboxes right
should
about
be in
right
your mailbox
now.
This week, yeah.
Yeah.
If it's not there today, it should be coming pretty soon.
Yeah. It's a really interesting... I like the articles in this edition. There are a lot of good stories.
What would you say the theme is this time around?
Well, it's February, so it's Black History Month. Mm-hmm. So, there's a lot of articles about... The racial makeup of our church and churches responding to that racial makeup and how we can do it better or what lessons we can learn.
And do our churches reflect the communities in which we're in? And I think that's really a nice segue to today's topic. Not only do we get to talk about the article, we get to talk with the author of
articles. Yes. So we're talking about transition in a church in Baltimore. So with us on the phone is Pastor Martin Schultheis, pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome, Pastor.
Thank you. Hi, Sarah. Hi, Andy.
Good morning. How are things in Baltimore this morning?
Great. A little gray. We're looking at some freezing rain coming tonight, but hey, nothing that we haven't seen all winter long anyway.
Welcome to February.
Yes.
So tell me a bit about your history with Emmanuel Lutheran Church and what you enjoy about being a pastor there.
Sure. Yeah, I've been at Emmanuel for 13 years, a little over 13 years now. Great congregation. When I first got here, it was a congregation that did not yet reflect the community, racially speaking, but kind of wanted to. It had an opportunity to move out of the community about a decade or so before I came and decided to stay. And so when I got here, it was kind of like a desire of how do we reflect the community? How do we get more people from the community in? And while it was quite a struggle to get there. Now, 13 years later, God has blessed us greatly, and we're much more racially diverse, economically diverse. It's just a neat congregation, and we're reaching a lot of different people through it.
If the congregation didn't really reflect the neighborhood, the community, who did make up the congregation? Where were they coming from? As they gather together for services, for fellowship?
Sure. Well, our congregation moved to this location in the mid-50s, and it had it moved here. Its congregation started in 1888, but it moved here because the neighborhood where it was at the time in the 50s had, it was a white church, and the community had become mostly African-American. And so the church moved out here to a newer white community. And over the years, the neighborhood changed again. This is Baltimore. This is part of urban center to African-American. And but by late 90s, early 2000s, a lot of the people that had made up the congregation then we're no longer living in the community, but commuting in. And from some of the farther suburbs coming in to the community, though still many live closer as well. But again, a lot of people driving in from other areas.
So what did that beginning of transition look like? What prompted it? How did you take that first step into a transition that eventually led to a congregation that really connected with the neighborhood, connected with the community?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny because while the people of Emmanuel, when I got here, kind of wanted to reflect the community, but in my eyes and some others weren't doing the things that needed to be done in order to do so because we're just used to doing what we always do. When I came, I grew up in between New York City and Baltimore City, and very ethnically diverse communities and congregations all my life. And so when I came, I had a million ideas as to what we could do to help work the transition and to become more ethnically diverse. And frankly, neither of our strategies worked. What the congregation was doing wasn't working. What I was coming up with, that wasn't working. And eventually what we found was we found ourselves simply focusing on Jesus and his love for us. And I write in the article, it sounds like such a simple, almost Sunday school lesson, but honestly, it's what we all needed to hear over and over and over and over again. And as it just became part of who we are, that, listen, we're people who are loved by Jesus. Jesus is here. Jesus is doing his work. Jesus is taking care of us. It's as though it kind of opened up all new opportunities, not to come up with new ideas and plans and strategies, but to be aware of the doors that Jesus was opening up right in front of us. And we just responded to, okay, well, Jesus is doing this. And you know, we recognized it. And he was bringing more people from our school, which was and is predominantly African-American, more people from the neighborhood, connecting with ethnic groups that were coming in. And it was just a matter of, we didn't have to come up with these ideas. We just kind of saw God at work in them. And I think because we were confident in Christ's love for us, and we didn't feel the burden of having the, you know, we should be doing this or we should be doing that, it just became easier to respond and just kind of give thanks to God as he did this work. And it's a lot of hard work that we're doing, but I think the burden, when we know Christ loves us, the burden isn't there. So that's what makes it easier.
Tell me about some of the people you've been able to meet because of this shift in your thinking and your shift in how you're going about serving the community.
People. Been able to meet. It's an interesting question. All different people. I mean, it's not a matter of, I don't know. Let me give that question again.
Sure. Because of the shift in how you've been able to reach the community, who are some of the people that you've been able to meet and work with? Maybe some of the different ethnic groups that have come in that you've been able to connect with.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. When it comes to ethnic groups, so we had a Pakistani pastor who is non-Lutheran at the time, who just a couple others had directed him to come meet me and our congregation here, just look for a little space for him to use to start a small ministry while he was going to continue his educational studies here in America. And as he got to know us and really kind of the heart of the gospel being the love of Christ and the grace of Jesus and the means by which that grace is given to us, he was just kind of won over in terms of Lutheran understanding of the gospel. And he's since gone through Concordia Seminary's program and has become an ordained Lutheran minister. And now we called him as an assistant pastor, and he's leading an Urdu language worship service here in the evening and reaching out to immigrant population, especially a large growing number of Muslims here in the area. Then we also had an Oromo congregation from Ethiopia that wanted to become an LCMS congregation. So they kind of asked us for space. And as I share in the article, you know, years ago, the congregation would have debated, do we allow people to use the space or not? How much do we charge? What, you know, how does this all work? And this time around, it was so obvious. Of course, we're going to let them use space, and they can stay here as long as they need. And, you know, they're going to be a sister congregation, and they've been a great blessing to us ever since. Both of which, by the way, both the Oromos and the Pakistanis also bless us with wonderful food. when we're able to do food events together.
Mm. I would love to be there for one of those meals.
Oh, yeah.
Please do come.
What has been, would you say there is a shift in focus from where the congregation was, you know, a decade or two ago to where they are today? What is that shift in focus with just about a minute left?
Honestly, it's the love of Christ. It's in Christ's love for us. Years ago, it would be on what should we be doing? What should we be doing? To go to the church. Now it's, Christ is here. Christ is doing it. Christ loves us, and he loves the people around us, and he's doing amazing things in our midst.
So it's a shift from what should we do to what has God done for us is what I'm hearing.
And what he is doing mm-hmm. for us even more so, yeah.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Baltimore. What a beautiful story of connecting, engaging the community. What would, about 20 seconds left, to the congregation in the communities across the country that are changing, what's your word of advice in one or two sentences?
Run to the cross, see Christ's love, and realize that he's not telling you that you should be doing something. He's simply, the gift that he's giving you is that he's doing it in your midst, and to be aware of it and to run alongside as he does it. It's a great blessing.
Pastor Martin Schulteis, Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Baltimore, Maryland, and author of the article in this month's Lutheran Witness, the February 2018 Lutheran Witness, welcoming Emmanuel God with us. Pastor Schulteis, thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
Hey, thanks. I enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
That was fun.
That was fun.
I'm learning more about what's going on in the church across the country. Beautiful story. And more to come this week. Tomorrow we meet the new program director for the National Youth Gathering. You're listening to the Coffee Hour with Andy.
And Sarah.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.